Just take a moment for a short prayer, please. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and love. And as we come to read what are very ancient words that your people have been reflecting on for centuries, Lord, we pray that you would give us a fresh approach. Help us to hear the voice of the Spirit as he speaks through the word, that we would be encouraged in our Christian walk and perhaps challenged in various things as well. Just pray for the power of your word to strike home into our hearts. Please be with us for these next few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. So far then in the story of Exodus, if you remember, God has called Moses from the burning bush. God has called him to himself, and he's called him to go on a mission. He was to go and tell Pharaoh, famously, to let his people go from slavery. And then Moses was to lead them out of Egypt and into the promised land. However, although Moses is being called by God into this exciting new mission, well, he hesitates. He's not exactly enthusiastic. And in fact, Moses protests at what God is asking him to do. He tries to wriggle out of his mission. He makes excuses to God. And these excuses come in our passage today in the form of questions. And the thing is, we might have questions too. When God calls you to himself, your mind at first might be full of questions. In fact, that's the normal response, to ask God questions. Or if he's given you a particular task to do, maybe a difficult situation to serve him in, well, you may hesitate. You may have the same questions as Moses did. So let's look at some of them now. First of all, why me? This is the first question that Moses asks God. Why me? Let's see the context in which he asks it. It's in verse 11. God has called him to go on a mission. Verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses can hardly believe that God is calling him. And he's also saying here, I'm not able to approach Pharaoh like this. Imagine trying to ask any Middle East dictator to set free his hostages. It's an enormous task, an impossible task that God wants him to undertake. And Moses has had his fingers burnt before trying to help these Israelites. In fact, that's why he fled Egypt in the first place. So he feels absolutely daunted. Why me? And Christians too often ask the Lord, why me? I'm sure at some stage in life you have asked him, why are you sending me into this impossible situation? You feel daunted, if not overwhelmed, and you ask him, why me? Who am I to face this? And there are situations where we feel isolated, alone, but it's at times like this that we need to remember God's promise, his presence with us. He promised Moses there in verse 12, I will be with you. And he makes the same promise to you if you're a Christian, because by his Spirit, by his Holy Spirit, Christ is with you. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He won't ask you to go into any situation without him. He won't ask you to bear witness to him without being right there with you. Alternatively, perhaps you ask, why me, when you're just thinking of beginning as a Christian? When God is first calling you, who am I to go against the flow and actually become a Christian, you might say? Well, it's right to carefully count the cost, and it may even be right to debate with the Lord. Many of us, no doubt, have gone through struggles like that, where we did question him, or where we believe that we're not good enough just to receive his great gift of salvation. Was that what Moses was thinking? Remember, he had killed a man by this stage in the story. Perhaps he thought, how can God have anything to do with me after that? Why me? But the fact is, God can. In fact, no matter what you have done, God still wants you. You may be asking him, why me? And perhaps you think, I'll never be able to keep it up. If I become a Christian, I'll never be able to keep going. But the fact is that God is calling you, and he is able to support you. I will be with you. Why me? Why not me? So Moses begins by asking, why me? Secondly, he asks God, who are you? Although he does at least ask it politely. Verse 13, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Moses appears to be worried, not unnaturally, that the Israelites themselves, never mind Pharaoh, won't listen to him. They won't believe that God really has sent him. Now Moses may, of course, just be making up another excuse here. After all, he doesn't really want this mission. But if he does go, he wants to know, what will I tell the Israelites? What is your name, God? Getting to know God is what being a Christian is all about. You can believe that there is a God. Most people do. But until you actually know him, you won't be saved. And the first stage of getting to know anyone is getting to know their name, especially in the Bible, where there's a meaning behind every Bible name. God gives Moses a very strange name here. I am who I am, he says. And you might well wonder what that means. But it simply means that he has always existed, and he always will exist. God simply is. He's not dependent on anyone or anything for his existence. He is unchanging, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is what he always has been and always will be. I am who I am. Or, as the footnote says at the bottom of the page there, I will be what I will be. In other words, I am who I will prove myself to be. As you go to Pharaoh, Moses, I am who I will reveal myself to be in the rest of the Exodus. He's a mighty God. He's going to reveal that. He's a God of grace, a rescuing God, a saving God. He was the God of Moses' fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, verse 15. And he would be the God of all the children of Abraham. He'd be the same person into all eternity. I am who I am. Moses perhaps understood some of that. But actually, I think we can understand more about God than Moses ever did. Because Jesus has shown us exactly what God is like. And he's told us exactly what God is like. And actually, Jesus also referred to himself as I am, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the same God as the Father. On one occasion, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And he also said things like, I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. And Jesus is claiming to be exactly the same God as the Father here. In fact, Jesus reveals the Father to us. So if you want to know God, you must get to know Christ. When Moses asked God who he was, God replies, I am who I am. If we were to ask God who you are, he will reply, look at my son. Jesus will tell you all about me. And Christ shows us God to be the compassionate and loving God. He shows him to be the fair and just God. He shows him to be the merciful and gracious God. If you were going to work for a new employer, you'd want to know what he is like, Is he going to be reliable, generous, approachable, fair? You might have to ask around to find out about him. And if you're thinking of serving God or of coming to him for the first time, you will want to know what he is like. Well, the way to do that is to look to Jesus Christ, to read the facts about him in the New Testament, to ask the people who already know him, Christians who serve him. Just as God gave Moses an answer, so God is wanting to give us an answer. He's wanting to tell us what he is like. He is the great I am. Here's another question from Moses. What will people think? At least that's my way of summarizing Moses' next question for God. It comes in chapter 4, verse 1. We didn't have time to read into chapter 4, but I do want to go into it now. Chapter 4, verse 1, remember, God is sending Moses back to Egypt, first to speak to the Israelite elders and then to speak to Pharaoh. Chapter 4, verse 1, Moses answered, "What if they," that's the elders, the Israelite elders, as well as Pharaoh, "do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Moses is getting even more worried. He's beginning to imagine actually going back to those Israelites in Egypt, the ones that saw him grow up in Pharaoh's palace, the ones that know he killed a man, the ones that challenged him with, "Who made you, Moses, a prince and judge over us?" back in chapter 2. The ones that he ran away from years earlier. And he doubts very much that they will take him seriously. He's not even spoken to them yet, but the peer pressure is already getting to him. What will they think of me? They'll never believe me. This is a very familiar feeling for Christians to have. What will my friends think of me? What will people say? What will my family say if I make a clear profession of faith? What will my workmates say if they find out I now belong to Christ? Those are the sort of pressures that Christians find themselves under. And we're often more anxious over what a friend will think of us than what the Lord will think of us. It may be more acceptable to say, "I go to church," or "I'm religious." But to actually tell someone that you're a Christian or that you've become a Christian, well, we all know that that's more difficult. And yet that is the call that God gives you. He commissions you just as he commissioned Moses. Moses was sent on a mission to tell people to come with him to freedom. That was his mission. The mission for Christians is to tell people about the real freedom in Christ, about the challenge to follow him. It might not be easy. What will they think of us? But that is our mission all the same. And yet you may be surprised at people's responses. God often goes before you to prepare hearts, so as when you do go and you do have the courage to speak of Christ, often he has already prepared the ground. If you're thinking, "What will they say?" Well, the problem may just be in your head. Instead, let's trust God, take courage, and speak the gospel message that Christians have been given, whatever people may think of us. So Moses has asked, "Why me?" He's asked, "Who are you, Lord?" And he's asked, "What will people think?" All questions, I believe, that we may well come out with ourselves when God calls us to serve him. A final question that Moses has for the Lord is, "Can I do it?" He's really quite panicked now. He's been getting more and more worried. And in fact, it's not so much that Moses asks the question, "Can I do it?" It's just more that he refuses to do it. I've always found this next section in this story quite funny, quite humorous. Look at chapter 4, verse 10, please, and listen to the vocabulary. Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. He always sounds fairly articulate to me. I'm slow of speech and tongue could be straight out of Shakespeare. Unaccustomed as I am to public speaking, Lord, I've never been eloquent. But he's simply telling God, I just don't feel up to it. It's not really the words, it's the task. Moses doubts his own ability. He'll have a lot of people to persuade. He must persuade the Israelites to go with him and Pharaoh to let them go. How can he possibly persuade them? Surely it's a job for someone else. And we might question whether we are articulate enough to speak up for Christ. You might feel that you don't have all the answers that your listener would want, that you might not be able to express yourself as clearly as you would like. But you know, still you're called to speak up. Christianity is a word-based faith. People will never know the gospel just by your good lifestyle alone, essential as that is. And so if you're a Christian, you must speak for him. You must prepare yourself to speak for him. Read up on what objections people might make to the Christian faith. Pray about that person that you're going to speak to. And then give what you have. And see what happens. Do what you can and allow the Lord to use it. Interestingly, God doesn't say to Moses, you're more capable than you think, or you're just being modest, Moses. No, in verse 11, he simply says, who made your mouth? Who made it? Therefore, go. Who knows best what you are cut out for? But then eventually we come to the real low point for Moses. We come to where all Moses' questions and protests have been leading. Chapter 4, verse 13, Moses said, O Lord, please send someone else to do it. He's just overwhelmed with anxiety about his mission. He knows it is a job worth doing. He doesn't want his people to remain in slavery, but nor does he want the responsibility of rescuing them himself. And so he tells the Lord, just send someone else. How often have we done that in our Christian lives? I know that so-and-so needs the gospel, we think to ourselves, but someone else will tell him, his cousin or his mother or his minister, or God himself will just somehow reveal it to him. But actually, no, you are in the best position to tell that person. That person knows you and respects you. And God is sending you to that friend or that person in your family. It can be daunting, but we're not asked to go through any mission on our own. Moses was not to confront Pharaoh on his own even. We've already seen that God will be with Moses. Indeed, God will also give him miraculous signs to do with his staff and his cloak. We've sort of scanned over those in verses 4 to 7. But also Moses was to go with the Israelite elders. He was to go with them to Pharaoh. And in addition, he was to take Aaron, his brother. So God uses people. He uses us all together to bring his message. We go as a church family, to reach out. You're not called to be a lone ranger. The real question for Moses is not so much, can I do it, as will I do it? And it's the same for us. Not can I serve him, but will I serve him? So all these questions and excuses from Moses, to a degree we can sympathize with him. He's being sent by God on a uniquely difficult mission. He's been given a message to Pharaoh that Pharaoh will not want to hear. And he's been commissioned to deliver a people that may not even believe him. It's an incredibly thorny task. So no wonder Moses hesitates. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ was given an even greater task. Remember in the Bible, Moses, as we've said before in these sermons, points ahead to Christ. Like Moses, he was sent. Jesus was sent to the cross. He was sent to rescue his people from sin and death and hell. Like Moses, Jesus too has a message. His message is, repent and believe the good news. It's for each of us to return to God and believe that Jesus died and rose again to forgive us. And like Moses, Jesus is the deliverer. He's the ultimate deliverer and savior. He delivers his people from slavery to sin. He delivers them into the kingdom of heaven. So there are these similarities between Christ and Moses. The only real difference between them is stubbornness. And that's a big difference. Moses is stubbornly reluctant to be a savior. In fact, he argues here with God. He makes excuses. The Lord Jesus, however, gave no argument because he's the perfect rescuer, the perfect savior. He perfectly answered God's call. And we can be so grateful that Jesus did not refuse to rescue us. Imagine if you were an Israelite in Egypt. You're held captive in slavery to Pharaoh. God is planning to save you, wanting to save you, but the Savior would not go. The Savior was busy protesting to God. What a relief that Moses eventually did go. What a relief for all those in slavery. And we can be so thankful that Christ did not hesitate. He did not protest like Moses did, but rather he went obediently. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he agonized over his mission, still he could say to God the Father, not my will, but yours be done. And as slaves ourselves to sin, waiting to be rescued, each one of us can be so grateful. Without Christ, our condition would be hopeless, but with him as our Savior, as our deliverer, we know that we're in good hands. Let us pray.